Well, listening to that is the leader of the National Party, Simon Bridges, who joins us now. Morena.
Morning.
OK, you've described New Zealand's response as subpar to the COVID-19 outbreak. Why is that?
Look, I think there are some good things. I mean, I agree with the Prime Minister about no need to panic and so on. I think health symptoms, and that has been offshore, given that the Director General of Health is saying, look, it's not an issue of cost, we would screen and test those people.
But the argument is that they didn't meet the criteria. They didn't meet the criteria, and this is the point health officials have been making. They can't test everybody unless they meet those key criteria.
Yeah, look, I understand the point you make. The other side of it is if you have someone who is presenting, who has the symptoms, who has been in the country offshore and has come back to New Zealand, look, it seems to me common sense suggests it is prudent to be testing those people. Look, that is but one issue. I think overall, if you look at it, the government has got there over time. I think it started very slowly. And I think what we can also say, and I know we will talk about it, but whilst those health issues, whilst incredibly significant, I don't downplay them, are uncertain, we have some very clear economic impacts of this, which I'm clearly focused on as well.
Okay. The government's response in terms of the economic issues.
Yep.
Do you think they need to act before the budget when it comes to extra measures, be it tax cuts or benefit increases or whatever?
Well, I think at least they should be signalling and we should be clear about the direction of travel. I mean, I think what we know now is it's very serious internationally and here economically. I think we've got no growth, actually, for the next several months, potentially worse following that, depending on what happens worldwide. So I think there's two things that follow from that. One, and I appreciate we are where we are, but we haven't come into this strong enough. We've had very low growth last year, and that doesn't give us the protection,
well,
and the buffer.
I need to pick you up on that. Because
please do, because I want to
Most economists will argue we've got a fiscal war chest. We've got $12 billion worth of surpluses forecast. We've got debt at below 20% of GDP, unemployment at 4%.
Even if you're right, it's going to be
a marginal difference, isn't it?
That turns it to what you do. But if you look at the economy last year, the latest Reserve Bank projection at 1.6%, when the last 5 years the key government were growing at 3.5%, look, that is slow.
But even if you're right, Mr. Bridges, it doesn't change the fact that the fundamentals, the amount of debt, the ability of the New Zealand economy to absorb this hit is still there, one way or the other.
This all speaks to the inheritance the government got, but the point of that growth is that in terms of small businesses, in terms of households and their rental costs and so on, they don't have the protection, the buffer. Now, the issue with all of
why don't they have the buffer? They do. The government has the surpluses.
Really?
It has low debt to spend.
No, I'm talking about the impact and effect of that low growth in the economic situation for those small businesses and for the households.
Just a second, Mr. Bridges. How would it help the crayfish industry if the economy had been growing at 0.5% more? They've lost their market.
Well, fundamentally, families would have more money in their pockets. I mean, they would have more ability going into this to do something. But the other side of it is, if the government can't see that and doesn't acknowledge where we are, and they say, look, no, actually, everything's okay, you know, 1.6%, whatever, GDP per capita, lowest it's been in a very long time, doesn't matter. That, to me, suggests they won't be able to solve this and have the remedy. So let's get to the remedy. It seems to me, when I've listened to Grant Robertson being interviewed by you, that there's a lot of nice talk. He's read the Treasury brief. But he doesn't have any sense of a comprehensive overall economic plan.
Okay, so give me a couple of examples of things you would do.
Absolutely, and you know that these are the things that I think were right actually even before we knew of coronavirus. I think, in fact, the arguments for them become stronger. I think there is a very strong case for tax relief for middle-income earners. Those households, I've said, were struggling, and I think as
a
result...
Okay, let's just stay on the tax cuts for a second. Let's stay on that for a second. Would you implement a tax cut that is lasting over a long period of time, or would it be a one-off? And would you do it before the budget?
I'm not suggesting a one-off. I think there is a case for one-off. I think there's a stronger case actually for doing this longer term. As I say, I saw the case prior to this. I think it has strengthened as a result of the struggle
and,
we're going
And are you
see.
Confident people who got those tax cuts would spend it? Because that is the end goal here. People need the money in their pockets and the economy needs them to spend it.
I don't think there's particular doubt about that when you consider the rental costs, when you consider the petrol costs, when you consider the struggle to fill up the trolley at the supermarket. These are people whose costs have gone up. Even you're at 60, 70, 80 grand a year in this country. Fundamentally, their incomes haven't
okay,
risen.
Fair enough. What about tax? What about benefit increases?
Well, look, but people make that case. I think the surest thing we need to do, though, is to have the jobs there and to have people.
Would you increase benefits as a way of insulating the New Zealand economy? And there's equity issues there as well.
I'm not proposing that. I do accept, and I've always agreed with the tax, the indexation changes that have been made and have seen the recent increases. Look, there's more to this. You know my views on infrastructure, and we'll be clear on that reasonably soon. But I do think that's a case of where we could have been doing things right now, not in a year or two's time. I also think there's a very strong case when you consider small businesses and the business confidence issues there to get on with some serious red tape slashing. So they wake up in the morning feeling confident going into this.
Okay, so would you support giving them some waiver on their provisional tax payments or even some direct wage subsidies for small businesses and industries that are directly affected?
I think they are things that should be examined. But I suppose I come at this, Corin, from a more fundamental position, which is what we've seen so far from Grant Robertson is $11 million for tourism, is, you know, a little bit of support here for forestry, but a talk on the East Coast. I think it is that overall sense of a plan that provides confidence to sectors across New Zealand, not just the symptoms.
And when's that needed, that plan? This is the point I want to come back to. So are we waiting to the budget, which is relatively well-timed, it's in May, or is it something that needs to, we need a mini budget, something sooner than that?
Well, I think given that the effects are today, I've talked with over a dozen businesses in the last week, and I won't run you through it, but they all in their way are having a palpable effect from coronavirus and what is happening.
So you'd support a mini budget in the interim?
No, I think at a minimum, what should be happening is a clear signalling of where we are heading so they can see that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that the government has a plan that will see them through, look, the next several months and potentially a worse situation depending on where the global economy does go.
Just one final question on another matter. The newsroom website is reporting that Dr. Jian Yang, your list candidate, has been reselected and made that announcement via a press release published in several Chinese language media outlets. Is that correct?
That sounds correct. And look, what I want to say, Corin, is his status hasn't changed. There is nothing unusual here. He was a list-only member of parliament. He still is. Most of my members of parliament are in the same position. That is, if you take my situation, I was re-selected as the candidate for Tauranga. We issued no press releases or fanfare around that because there was no change in my status.
Would there be an announcement around the placing of the list?
Oh, absolutely, but of course that will come later. And what you will see is our list ranking position, 1 through 70-something, and where we all fit. So let me tell you, I hope to be number one. Let's see how it goes.
Would it not have been you who would have expected to put out a press release around Dr. Jiang's reselection?
No, because look, and in fact, we did a Facebook Live, I think, on this. And so yeah, there's no sort of secret here, as it were. But I come back to it. We just don't, as a matter of course, do that. It's only where someone's changed. So, for example, the two I can think where we have had announcements are Paula Bennett, because she went list only to focus on as campaign manager, and Ann Tolley, where she is no longer standing in the East Coast, but is going list only, and look, would hope to be a speaker in the next government, or next parliament, I should say.
Simon Bridges, National Party leader, thank you very much for your time.